Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Today, the interview is with Mr. Don Toliver, Minister Don Toliver. Don Toliver is part of the National Action Network in the Tallahassee, Florida division. How are you doing, Mr. Toliver?
Sister Butler, it is a joy and a pleasure to be on your show today. I am extremely excited and totally grateful. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. It's good to have you on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. It's always a joy to interview you. Always learn something. And today we're going to tell our Florida listeners about the Democratic Party here in Florida and perhaps other places, but mostly in the Panhandle of Florida, Tallahassee, Florida. I know Mr. Rubio is in my district, and Ms. Val Demons is running against him.
That is so true. That is going to be a very interesting race coming up. You're looking at Val Demings and Rubio battling it out this year.
They're battling it out. Okay, does she stand a good chance?
I think she does. You know, a lot of people are not happy with Rubio not attending a lot of sessions, not being a part of the mainstream, and strictly being Republican-based is one issue, but the main issue with Senator Rubio is that he has not attended. He has the worst voting record of anybody in the Senate, and I don't mean just in state of Florida, but throughout the country. He has the worst attendance record when it comes to voting on things that are important to the constituents of the state of Florida. So that record alone, and I think she has a commercial that she put out, and, you know, we're dealing with facts. The facts are that the attendance record is so poor, he has the worst attendance record in the Florida Senate throughout the country. So that's something that we're looking at. If you're not there to vote, she said, you don't show up for your job, you need to be fired. So I thought that was a pretty cute commercial, but at the same time, it's a realistic issue. If you're not there, how can you vote?
So he doesn't even bother to show up.
No, he does not. He does not bother to show up.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty significant. And
he doesn't even bother to show up to vote for the residents of Florida, but yet he's getting paid.
Yeah.
He's been elected.
That's right. And, you know, that's the part people don't understand, you know, doing their job, and they're supposed to be representing us. So that's the main issue that we're dealing with in the state of Florida.
That's the main issue that we are dealing with in the state of Florida. They don't even bother to show up and vote.
Yeah, you know, if you're not there to vote on topics, and then when you do come to vote, you vote negative, vote against what a lot of the Democrats are pulling for, which is even mainstream from the standpoint of health care. You know, Medicare in the state of Florida could have had millions and millions of dollars extra to help another 25-30%. From Rubio to Rick Scott to Governor DeSantis, they all voted no. So you have now about another, I think it was 7 million, 8 million Floridians who are not able to get the expanded Medicare benefit. So that causes a major problem when it comes to caring. But you love to sit and say, oh, you know, we're taking care of this, we're taking care of that. But the problem really comes to, what are you really doing for the people? Are you really helping them, or are you just going after your own agenda? You don't want anything from the federal government, but the federal government currently is under the Democratic administration. You're trying to help the citizens. If that's your job, to help the citizens of the state of Florida, the issue that you should be able to do is vote on things that are helping and not just say, we're not taking because it comes from the Democrat. But you take credit for everything that Democrats are doing, everything from the stimulus to the CARES Act money. Those are things you're taking credit for, but you all voted as a solid block Republicans. No. And that's something you need to go back and look at the voting record and see exactly what you're doing. With that being said, you know, we have to be able to look at what is really happening in Washington, D.C. And that's a lot of people don't. They just say, oh, I'm voting Republican or Democrat. You need to dig into it and see exactly what you're voting for.
Yes, you need to see who you're voting for also.
Who you're voting for, and why you're voting for. Not just because you're voting for a party. And, you know, I hate people say, okay, I'm voting straight down Democrat. No, even with that being a Democrat, there's still some things you need to look at. You still need to look and see if they're really helping, they're really assisting, if it's really going to be something worth your while. If it's not, then Democrat, Republican, or independent, you don't need to vote for them. I mean, it's just a realization, you know, of what needs to happen. But the main issue now, they just say Democrat, Republican. If you're not a good Democratic candidate, and I don't think you're worth my vote, you know, hey, I understand Democratic issues, but you need to be worth my vote because my vote has power behind it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You have to vote in order to have power.
Wow. And they're not voting. Is it the Democrats only, or is it Republicans? Because you said Rubio is a Republican. Am I correct? Isn't
Rubio,
he?
Rubio, Scott, as well as DeSantis. But everything that they do is counterproductive to what the Democrats vote on. For example, you know, with the issue of the Roe versus Wade issue, with the whole reproductive system, and I think that the Democratic Party has taken an approach on that. A woman's body should be and shall be, you know, the woman's choice. Now, I am no one's person to tell them what they can and cannot do with their body. You know, if there's an issue that parents dealing with pregnancy, incest rate, whatever the case may be, whatever the stipulation, even if the choice is not to keep the unborn child, that is a personal thing that a woman, I cannot tell a woman what to do. I cannot make any laws or legislations of that because I do not regulate what happens within a person's individual body. So that is something that, you know, the Republicans have made a stand on and saying, hey, we're all with Supreme Court decision. We're all with this. We're all for everything that works with them, but not something that we should have jurisdiction on. Would you agree or disagree?
I would disagree. I agree. I agree. So basically, now that it's getting your time to vote for the senators and represent the for offices in the panhandle of Florida, what other besides Rubio that's not voting? Do you know of any other perhaps in your area?
Not off the top of my head, but I do know that there are a lot of the issues that have come up from the standpoint of what is needed as far as you know, laws and rules for the state of Florida. You know, a lot of not just Medicare, not just the issue against abortion rights, but there's just some common sense things that you need. Tax laws. You know, we need to look at it. You example, gas tax. DeSantis decided that he did not want to do the gas tax until October. Now, right now, today, we need assistance and help dealing with the gas, those people who drive and have cars and transportation, you know, and it has been relaxed by the federal government. But, you know, the federal government can only do but so much within your state, your governors, your local races, the ones you really need to pay attention to. I don't know what's happening in Chipley or it's in Blountstown or what's happening throughout, but right in Leon County and McCullough County, the areas that affect me directly, you know, everything from the standpoint of a penny sales tax, which they gave money to the Florida states. They gave them $27 million, a big hoopla, and they gave FAMU $10 million. Now, I do not know the internal issues pertaining to the two different discrepancies in the amount. I know that each one of them were trying to deal with issues pertaining to their stadium. FAMU was not able to raise $10 million. So they were in the process of using that to keep the stadium so to continue to work in the community. Florida State, we're looking at enhancements for $20 to $27 million. to add luxury this and luxury that. So it's a little different scenario, even though the monies were utilized for supposedly economic growth. But the problem with that being said is they were supposed to use that $27 million to go towards moderate to low-income housing. Now, that could be a definite impact where that in Tallahassee alone, they're probably about 7,200 houses short of what the infrastructure plan was supposed to be in about 10 to 15 years ago going forward and getting moderate to low-income housing. Moderate to low-income housing is needed in affordable housing because in Tallahassee there's no rent, no rule regulation. They said on the news about 2 days ago that rent has went up 14% in 1 year. With that being said, there is no scale, no limit. They can charge what they want, and you have about 70,000 students in Tallahassee, and they're paying the price because there's no rules or regulation when it comes to rent or rent indemnity. In addition to that, the moderate low-income market is pitiful because there's not enough resources going around to go for what is needed in different communities. I don't know if you know Tallahassee, 32304 area code is the worst area code in the country as far as blighted communities and the poorest in the entire country, not just in the state of Florida. So with
what
that being
the poorest in the entire?
The poorest income district is 32304 in the state of the, in the country, not just in Florida, as far as income. And you're right here in the capital city. With that being said, being your capital city, you should have economic development. You should have home ownership at a much higher rate. All you have are the universities and state government, but at the same time, under your own nose, you're having problems because it's the poorest income district in the country. That is a shame.
I did not know that. That is something new. I did not know Tallahassee that Leon County that Tallahassee was.
No, it's that area in it's that zip code. Excuse me, in that zip code in Tallahassee, they're talking about eight different zip codes. But in that zip code is the poorest zip code, not just in the state of Florida, but the entire country. That is news.
Okay. All right. I did not know that.
Hey, look, we're all learning together. We're all part of this community. We're all trying to make things happen that are important to us. But at the same time, we're dealing with a massive, massive issues pertaining to what needs to happen more realistically in the community. So,
yes.
You know, that's a major problem that we have.
That's a major problem. Income is a major problem. Income is getting decent income.
Yeah.
I know that one thing is a problem. Income, I'll say it again, income and crime. The reason there's crime because there are no jobs.
That's the other thing, too, with the...
And housing, jobs, income, health insurance. Well, we have some health insurance, but health insurance. We have that because of President Obama. But it's housing, income, and crime. And without housing and income and jobs, there's always going to be crime. When you don't invest back into a community that you've stolen from, I mean, not just stealing, but black people cater overwhelmingly to white businesses, white corporations, and they don't reinvest back into the black community. They don't reinvest back into the community at all.
They don't take the time to bring the resources back. Frank, I read that there was a black dollar stays in the community maybe 2 days, but in a Caucasian community, it stays in the community for probably about 3 weeks, 2 weeks. But in a Asian community or Mexican community, lack of a better word, it stays there for about 4 to 5 weeks. What that is they're reinvesting in their own community and having the dollars recirculate. That helps you with internal growth in your community.
But black people don't do that.
They don't.
Like they should.
They do not, and that causes a major, major issue. So, you know, we really, really need to look at how we spend our money, where we spend our money. Are we reinvesting in minority black businesses? Are we doing what we have to do? Because we have to know that, you know, the dollar has to circulate. It has to be beneficial. A lot of people say, well, I don't like working with black businesses. They don't do this. They don't do that. You know, so it's just, you know, we have to understand what's needed in our communities. So I just don't really fully understand why we can't get it right and everybody else can't.
So you're the Vice President of National Action Network. So what are you guys doing? What are you guys working on? What is this network working on? I know it's founder is Reverend Alfred Sharpton. So what are you guys doing? What are you working on? What are you striving to? I know you're a member of the Bethel Church, New Bethel Church. Did I pronounce it right? Did I pronounce it wrong?
Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. What we're doing in Tallahassee is Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, our pastor's name is Reverend Dr. R.B. Holmes. He serves as the president and founder of the Tallahassee chapter of the National Action Network for the last 7.5 years. I've been serving as the vice president just as long under his leadership. In addition to that, our national president, as most people know, the Honorable Reverend Al Sharpton is a national president who resides out of New York. What we're currently doing in Tallahassee is we're working on a voters forum. We're putting together different individuals in local, state, Senate, House representative forums to be able to look at the candidates, be able to endorse candidates. We're going to do a few forums leading up to the election. In addition to that, what we're doing is we're getting people out to vote. We had a rally, matter of fact, on this Saturday at the Bethel. We have a Family Life Center where we had the youth from 18 to 25, and they had several people come out, a couple of the county commissioners, County Commissioner Diane Williams-Cox came and spoke. We had Commissioner Attorney Calvin Cummins came and spoke. And Mayor Tallahassee, John Daly, came out and spoke as well on the importance of youth and the new Millennium, whatever they call them, Generation X, Z, Y, all that, to let them know that they have a vote. And people have passed in years from 1964, dealing with the Voters' Rights Act, have not taken their time to do what was needed and necessary to be able to take advantage of the vote, not be able to take the time to go out and vote, register to vote, and also understand that their vote counts. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to vote because my vote not going to count. In a pool, in a pack, in a form, that you realize that power are in numbers, and the numbers are needed in order to be able to make sure that you can demonstrate change. I told people on Saturday that if we just took one of the colleges or universities in Tallahassee. FAMU, for example, has about between 9,000 and 10,000 students. Florida State has somewhere around, I think, about 40,000 students. And TCC, Tallahassee Community College, has somewhere around 37,000 students. Mm-hmm. Any one of those block of votes in Tallahassee could make a decision on who the city county commission are. They could make a decision on who the mayor is, make a decision on who the representatives are, as well as the Senate and the Senate and the Congressman. Because if they vote in a block, concentrated block, they would control what happens in Tallahassee. And that's something that they need to look at, that dynamic. Because it's that important if you vote in a block and your vote will and it does count, you have to remember that you have to be informed in order to also make that vote count. Vote for the right candidate also goes a long way.
Yes, sir. Also, I want to say that here where I live at, it's a red area. It's a Republican area. I'm not trying to be down or anything, but it really is a Republican area, and these people vote Republican. It's more mostly past Quincy is mostly a white area, and a lot of white people vote Republican. Blacks do too, also. It's just the way it is, and all the way past Pensacola, even. So, even though the gentleman who ran for governor could have won, was winning in South Florida, the reason he didn't win in past after Quincy is because this is amongst a Confederate area.
Well, you know, I tell this to people anyway. If we'd have had, Democrats would have had an additional, let's just say 30 people, even though you didn't win the county or the county race, those votes would have contributed to an overall weight race for the state of Florida, where that Rubio won by less than 30,000 votes, okay? With that being said, another 25, 30 votes in each county, Democratic, would have changed the outcome of that election. Think about it. 25 to 30 votes, 30 votes more would have changed the outcome of that election alone. It doesn't take a lot. It's just that we need to make sure that we do what's necessary as far as getting out and doing our part to vote. But we do that, then that will stimulate what needs to happen. And every vote does count when it's tallied as a group. And people don't really understand that, but that's true. You have to mass pool your votes and understand that every vote counts.
Every vote does count. I will be voting. What does Ms. Summer miss? What are some of the other candidates besides Ms. Demons?
Well, you know, you have there's a new race in Congress where Neil Dunn, with the redistricting of DeSantis did, it's against Congressman Al Lawson. Now, that district overlaps, and they've stripped Congressman Al Lawson of his district. And that's going to be a very pivotal race because there were only, I think, three or four different areas that were redlined or that you could have a minority representation in the state of Florida. By them doing that would strip away one of the minority seats as well as where Val Demings was as well in Orlando. That has been redistricted as well. So that predominantly it's not a stronghold to be able to get African-Americans back in the office. So with that being said, you're now looking at going from four seats to possibly two seats in the Senate and in Congress. So that is a way to redline and strip away minority participation. That, an important race with Neil Dunn and Congressman Lawson, that is another pivotal race that, you know, I think you may be able to vote for. I'm not sure the redline districting, but the issue is you're about to lose possibly unless the African-Americans and Democrats show up in order to save these seats. And those are the things that Governor DeSantis is doing to strengthen his hold in order to make things happen on the Republican side by changing and modifying everything that he can in order to assist his goal of not only being governor, but they say his next attempt is now to try to run for the White House. So whatever that may be, however that looks, those are things that we need to be looking at. What is the modus operandi? What is the main point? behind what these people are doing in order to uphold what is needed for you and I.
Okay. All right. Okay. That what is needed for you and I. So basically, do you think there's going to be a change? I mean, with the way voting is going, the way they're trying to keep people from voting, especially black people from voting, with Governor DeSantis passing the law that you could run over people that were protesting or marching peacefully. I mean, do you see anything? Do you see anything changing?
Well, it has to be a fight. It can change, and it has to be. You have to continue to fight and stay engaged. By fighting and staying engaged in what's going on in your community helps throughout the voting process. You have to make sure that you're doing all you can to assist with what is needed and necessary as far as being engaged from the standpoint of not serving somebody water while they're in line. How is that a criminal or felony offense, or giving them something to eat? You know, that's an inhumane thing. If I have to stand in line for 4 hours and I give you some water, you're saying, oh, that's a criminal offense. Because I'm giving somebody water. Where's the humanity? You know, where does that live? Where does that sit? Where does that reside? You know, no one should be treated impartial because they gave somebody a bottle of water, standing in line, or something to eat. You know, they were trying to criminalize that. Anything you can do to stop minorities or people of black and brown descent to keep them from voting, that shows exactly how much your vote counts. That's how powerful your vote is, because anything they can do to try to stick you from voting demonstrates another move why they don't want you to vote, because perceived power is what they have, and what they want you to do is to say, oh, they're asking for another form of ID. So, you know, I don't have that, so I'm not going to worry about voting. So that's what they want you to do. They want to disenfranchise you any way they can to keep you, because I keep telling people they got to understand that the vote is the most important powerful tool that you have, because your vote speaks volumes of anything that you can say or do. And being engaged in politics, if you don't vote, you have no say in anything that's going on. So you can sit and say, well, I didn't like the candidate. But you need to get out and at least say, hey, these are the people that I think are going to do a good job, and pick a candidate that you feel is going to do the best job they can. And if they choose not to do it, what you can always do is when their term comes back around, say, you didn't do anything, the system helped me, but you won't be getting back in office. And that's what I tell all the people in, who I talk about. If you're not doing anything for the people, we don't need you. So why would I vote for you if you're not doing anything to assist or help the people? That if you're selfish game, it's not needed. So do not call me. Do not ask me. Do not need to do anything. I am not doing anything to assist or help you. And if I find out you're not doing something to help the people, there's no way in the world that I'll ever vote for you.
That's right. That's right. And Rubio is not doing that. For my district, I don't know about your district. Is he in your district? Is he in your district?
He's not. He's not in my district. He's in. He's in the district for Orlando area. So he's not. He's not here with me.
Okay.
So okay. Yeah, that's the, you know. That is what they're trying to do to make sure that you.
I don't think they care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they care. That's my point of view. I really don't think they care.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other. I think all they hear is black.
Well, that could be one of the things
Trump
that they hear.
It has a lot to do with it. I don't know what it is about just voting that Rubio won't do. But I know it's Val Demings is for, you know, was the police chief.
Mm-hmm.
And was the police chief. It's Val Demings was. So that's another thing that's got me, is that she was the police chief. Even though I have police, a lot of policemen in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to be done about police accountability. If a policeman is not eligible for qualified immunity, he should not get it. If he is truly not eligible for it, he should not get it. And the qualified immunity should be outlawed.
Yeah, that's something they need to work on and getting that,
yes,
taken care of as well. That's another problem that we have.
Yes, sir. It is. I apologize for the noise in the background, everyone. I apologize. I'm trying to do this interview. I had opened the door. Mr. Tolliver, Miss Demings, what does she say about Rubio not voting? What did she say? What did she say?
Well, he needs to lose the job because he's not on the job. You know, and like I said, the commercial that I mentioned earlier says that, you know, she was a cop on the beat. She did. She showed up to work, police chief. If you don't show up to work, you don't need to keep your job. And I agree with that 200%. If you're not doing what's needed, you don't show up in your job. How can you make rules or how can you say that, you know, these are the things that need to happen, and you don't even show up for work? So how can you show up for work, you know, if you don't do what you're supposed to do? You know, what good are you? You know, really, we don't need you. So it's just another way to show that, you know, we all need to make sure that, you know, we have tried and proven candidates, you know, that are doing what's needed in order to make sure that you have good government and good people doing what's needed and necessary in order to make things happen.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And Rubio doesn't even vote. My mom and I have been talking about that a few years back, that he didn't even bother to show up to vote. And but yet he wants to be elected back into office, but he's not even showing up to do his job. And when he does show up, he votes negative. So that's a problem. Yeah, that's a huge problem. Are they going to allow anything to come into Florida?
What do you mean by that?
Governor Santez, DeSantis.
Anything to come into Florida?
IT extended Medicaid. Has he did that yet?
No. He's not doing that. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Those are some of the problems that we have that needs to be addressed. And getting a new governor will help with the initiatives of the Democrat as well as for the initiatives of the people. You know, you have to make sure that you have people in place to help you do what's needed and necessary as far as, you know, getting what the people need. Another example that I use is with unemployment benefits for the state of Florida. At the time when the pandemic was at its peak, I, too, was unemployed. So what that did for me personally is I was on unemployment, getting the benefits, and there was additional $300 every 2 weeks that was in the system that the federal government had put out. So it was an additional $600 a month, which helped with mortgage, house note, insurance, things like that. The Sanders decided we don't want the money from the federal government and cut the program short by 3 months and sent the money back to Washington, D.C. Now, he was saying that people were being lazy, but if you did not, you have a specialized career or something that you were working in and could not get a job, I wasn't applying for jobs, the areas that I worked in and have expertise was not available. So I applied to probably 10 jobs a week, and had a few interviews, but it was not successful. So the $600 that he stripped away from the household hurt tremendously, because now you're still trying to figure out how you're going to make it, and you've not even stripped away the fiber of me even being able to do what's needed and necessary as far as being able to get a job or getting the benefits I needed to be able to support my family. So those are some of the mean-spirited things that Brother Rubio did. And the senators, such as Rick Scott and the whole Senate for the state of Florida, which is majority Republican, Rubio, they all, yes, we need to do that. You have lazy people not trying to go to work. That was not the case. So to help somebody, anything to help somebody, you strip away the fiber. Problem I have with Republicans. And you're hurting the Republicans as well for steady voting for you, which is hurting yourself. And that's a problem I can't understand about the mentality of a Republican.
Wow. They hurt the Republicans as well and don't care. Just don't care. I mean, what is wrong with them? Are they mad that Trump wasn't elected?
That's one of the things. But at the same time, though, if I'm if I was a Republican and I depended on that $600, and you decide I don't need that $600, but I'm struggling trying to survive, as an example, why would I vote for you if you did nothing to assist? All you did was cripple me more. So I fully do not understand the issues of not assisting people and making them suffer. Is not a good thing for me to deal with or work with as far as working with Republicans. It's just not a good mantra or mentality piece of me. I don't understand why you still continue to work with them.
All right. Okay. I understand what you're saying. I understand exactly what you're saying. It makes no sense to vote with somebody who's working against you.
Correct. There we go. That is it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to work with someone who's working against you. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't understand why they keep voting for him. All I can say is it's not the smartest thing. It's not the smart thing to do. To keep voting for someone who is not doing anything for you. That's basically all I can say. It's not the smart thing to do. All right. Well, I thank you for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. All I can really say is racism is bad. I apologize to everyone about the background noise. And thank you for Mr. Dave Tyler for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Once again, voting time is coming around. Like Mr. Tolliver said, we need year-round participation. I know I've been concentrating a lot on the murders and not on voting, but voting is important, and we do need to vote. It may not seem like it, but it is.
It is extremely important. It is extremely necessary. We need to make sure that we do all we can and need to assist and help one another in order to make it through.
Okay, so it's very important. It's still important to vote, people. It's still important to vote. I can stress it. Everyone, do not forget about Mr. Christopher Shaw. Mr. Christopher Shaw is paralyzed by Officer Gillian in Beaumont, Texas. He was body slammed on his head by a police officer who fell on top of him also when he body slammed it. So he's paralyzed from the waist down, from the chest down. So everyone keep him in your prayers. He's filed a lawsuit and he's suing. He's suing the city of Beaumont. He's suing the officer. He's suing Core Health LLC. He's suing because That's his right to sue. They're still trying to make him take a plea deal, saying he assaulted an officer, but they won't release the video footage. So, everyone, keep Mr. Christopher Shaw in your prayers. Keep Attorney Lynch in your prayers, Chance Lynch in your prayers also. God bless everyone. Thank you, Mr. Don Toliver, for coming on the Queen of Show Talk. Angela Butler, I kept you on a very long time.
Thank you, and I appreciate it, and we'll talk real soon. God bless you.
Everyone, I apologize about the background noise. I am getting work did. I was not expecting him to come. He called about 35 minutes ago and said he was coming, and I was not prepared, and I had this interview scheduled. So, everyone, I apologize for the noise in the background. I'm usually not this unprofessional. Please forgive me, and please continue listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. God bless everyone.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.